fits in to deliverance, because it's such an interesting part of it. The Bible says that our Lord said of the soul process of a man, speaking to the born-again believer, you know, you have to read the Bible as the Bible is for you, whereas a lot of Christians read the Bible like it's for the people out there in the world. The people out there in the world are probably, many of them, will never read it. So really, who is it for? It's for the believer. Is that right? I forgot to mention, but my friend Molly's with us today. Molly Brown. Reverend Molly Brown. Pastor Molly Brown. Of course, you all know her because she filled in while we were in Africa. And I got real good reports. Amen? In Matthew 10:39, Jesus said, "He that findeth his soul," that means life there, "shall lose it. And he that loseth his soul," life, "shall find it." So what he's saying here is that once you decide to give up your life for the life of Christ and his cause, then you'll find true eternal life. And the gospel is a living faith. It's not a religion. It's not something that we do that Jesus and the Lord is way out there somewhere and he's not interested in us. There's so many of us that could tell you story after story about how God saved our lives, or how he did something for people in our families that saved their life. And so Jesus really and truly is a relationship. And until you can cultivate that living relationship on a daily basis with your Lord, you're going to have a hard time if you try to live Christianity. Christianity is very difficult if you're not being led by the Spirit. If you're being led by the spirit of man or the spirit of ideas, what will happen is you'll get in a maze, because one minute you'll hear this and you'll go in that direction and that won't be it. And the next minute you'll hear that and you'll go over there and it won't be it either. And so Jesus and a relationship, being led by his Spirit, will keep us on a straight, narrow pathway, headed right in the direction to his throne. Amen? And so you'll find life in Christ. In Mark 8:34 and 35, again he said, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, his soul life or his life's attitude," is what he's talking about here, "and take up his cross and follow me, for whosoever will save his soul shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his soul for my sake and the gospel's shall save it." And so it's very, very important in supernatural Christianity to follow Jesus, because that's where all the treasures are. And believe me, there are multitudes of treasures in following Jesus Christ. I've been following Jesus for around 30 years, and I've never been sorry for it yet. And he's always been there by my side, pushing me on, telling me, "Oh, no, don't go over there. Oh, I'll open up this place for you, but no, no, I don't want you there." And when I walk through the doors that he's opened, it's always successful. There are no problems. He always stands behind his word. Amen? And so there's powers and principalities that are organized over every single city in the world. And these powers and principalities are called an organized hierarchy. They're the ones that give the directions to the little devils down here on this earth. They're the rulers, and the rulers are the principalities. They're the archai, which means they are the authorities, the exousia, which means power, and dunamis. And then there's spiritual forces of wickedness or evil, and they're called cosmokeratoris. And this is the structure and authority of the demons and the devil. And I'll tell you, they have a lot of confusion, but yet they're organized. And because of a strict organization, they are able to accomplish a lot because they obey their leader. And you know, the interesting thing about it is that when they get into people, if you notice, people get very disorganized and they get very confused. Have you ever noticed that? But yet, the demons in the people are still able to accomplish things through those vessels. You've noticed that. Well, you see, there's a conflict going on when they get inside of a person, because the person's will at times still comes into play. And so there's where your confusion comes in. And when a person is usurping the authority of the demon that's inside of them, there's a warfare constantly going inside for control of every single situation. But sometimes the people are not possessed enough at different points for those devils to totally take control over their vessels. But the authority structure is arranged in a descending order. Archai is the high satanic princes over nations and regions of the earth. And you could say over cities. If you are an intercessor, if you will begin to seek God, what is the authority over this area? What is the principality that's ruling and reigning over this city? What would happen is, as you tap into the heart of God, God will begin to show you those things, believe it or not. And as you begin to see things, and as you begin to bind those things, that's when you will begin to see a difference in the territory that you're praying for. Many Christians will never get to that level of spirituality. Many of them just will never come down into those deep waters. You have to fight a warfare to be able to fight a warfare. Amen? And some of us will never get to that level where you can attack powers and principalities. When I go on foreign lands, I do it all the time. Used to do it before I ever heard anybody else say anything at all about it. When we were down in Jamaica, you've heard me tell the story about the skies opening and Henry seeing the black dragon. And when he described the black dragon and the crow walking back and forth on the head of that dragon, and we began to attack that spirit, that's when people started running into the churches down there to get saved. And, of course, the same thing happened over in Africa, Ghana. The Muslim spirit, very, very big spirit over there, very strong. The pastors all told me the Muslims have all of the money. And I told them, I said, but that's backward. The Bible says that the unbeliever lives under the curse. The Bible says that we're supposed to be the heads, not the tail. And I said, you know, it's not only the Muslims, but your diamond mines and your gold mines over here, all the resources go into foreign hands. The big shots over those mines are the ones that get the profits from those mines. The little natives, they might get a little penny or two from it, but they get De Beers, the diamond merchant, the world's diamond merchant. He's the one that gets the resources. Rhodes from England, he instituted the Rhodes Scholarship that President Clinton is in, or had a Rhodes Scholarship. That's to train people to be New World Order people, by the way. It doesn't mean that they're real smart. And a lot of times it means that they have pretty good connections. Amen? Well, anyway, he had diamond mines in Africa. That's where all of his money came from. And yet, when you go to Africa and you look, you see the poorest of the poor everywhere. And so when I talked to the preachers over there, I told them that they needed to begin to take dominion over the resources of those mines. And they needed to call it into their kingdom. And they needed to bind the powers and the principalities over the city of the Muslim spirit. And I know that you've heard this, many of you, but I'll say it again. When we began to attack the Muslim spirit over that city, people began to show up at the house, knock on the gate, and come in that were Muslims. One lady came, and she was going to give her child away, and she had left her husband. And she used to be in the Christian church. And she started meeting with the Muslim women and praying. She was totally demon-possessed. And so we cast the spirits out of her. And the next night, she was over at the church. She'd gone back to her husband. She wanted to keep her baby. You see, either we're in charge, either we can do these things that the Bible tells us that we can do, or we can't. And so when you get in a foreign country like that, you can see instantly, sometimes, the result of what you're doing. In America, you have so many churches and so many believers in cities until, unless you're going out in their midst to see what God's doing, sometimes you don't know what God's doing in a city, and particularly if you're not going around them. In Jacksonville, I don't go out very much because of the fact that I'm an intercessor for the city, and I don't want to be praying what I think God wants me to pray about. I like to pray about what He gives me in the spirit realms through His mind into my heart. And so I don't go because I would see a lot of things. Truthfully, I'd see things. But I try to pray His heart, not mine. Amen? And so Azusa, it carries the connotation of both supernatural and natural governments. And so Paul's understanding of this is that there are supernatural forces that stand behind every natural force. And so when we see our government, the United States, some of us over 40 remember the government before it became so perverted. I mean, we were shocked when we saw the president stand, and his first act was to proclaim that he signed an executive order concerning the homosexuals. We were shocked. I thought, this will do this man in. But it did not do him in at all. What it ended up to be was, today, if you say something against the gays, they want to send you to a psychiatrist to have your mind examined. That's how far that it's fallen in these last 7 years, the standard in this nation concerning abortion. Any candidate that says that they are anti-abortion, what they're proclaiming on television, that can lose them the elections. In California, they already have the rights of partners to assume the same rights as a woman and a man in marriage. And of course, the adoption laws are falling as quick as I can speak so that they can adopt children. They can't have their own, so they want to take other people's and pervert them too. And so what is behind that is the Azusa power, which is power. It's the power to rule and reign over the land, over cities. It's the human government being motivated by the government of the demonic realms. And so when you begin to see things like this rise up in a land, it means that Christians are sound asleep. It means that Christians are not alert to pray. It means that their thoughts are in other places. And unfortunately, if Christians don't spiritually wake up, captivity will come upon the land because God will turn his back on America. It's only because of his mercy that we're still free. And sometimes I don't think we're as free as we think we are. I mean, they see everything we do, whether we realize it or not. You know, they're tracking you through your income tax forms, through your credit cards. If you use the credit card, they know every single place that you've ever been, ever will go, how much money you're spending. And through the IRS, they know how much money you make. And so they're already really in control far more than you think. The Christian right, they tried to win this battle through words and through speaking truth, but they never really pled for spiritual warfare foundations to that movement. They tried to win it through debate. They lost. There is no more moral majority. That dispersed several years ago. And now without the tax exemption, look for the Christian coalition to go away. You see, the truth is that the people in the world can beat us when we go out into the natural and try to win a spiritual battle. It's like the Muslims in Africa and in Iran and Iraq and in some parts of Russia and Pakistan and some of these kind of nations. That spirit has totally taken dominion over those countries. And there are little pockets of Christians here and little pockets of Christians there. And if you were to read history, you would discover that Christians used to rule and reign over those regions. But they have lost their footing because they tried to beat those people with swords. They tried to beat them in a physical, natural battle, but they lost. Because those people are meaner than we are, amen? They're more murderous. And besides that, their demon god, Allah, tells them every one of us that they kill, they get a better spot in heaven. And so they're murderous people too. And so we lost because of ignorance and because of lack of understanding of spiritual things. I believe that trained Christians could take any town, any place in this world if they were properly trained, if they were properly committed and submitted to the Lord, if they would listen to the voice of the Lord in prayer, And if they would take the time to spend in spiritual warfare, I believe any group of people could take that region. And when you look at the Bible, you see that is exactly what the apostles did. They went into heathen areas and they took territories for Christ. I mean, Paul took Ephesus, and when he went in there, the whole area was caught up in idolatry, in worshiping Diana. Well, he went in there and tackled the spirit of Diana, and he won because Paul was a territorial taker. He understood the principles of the powers and the principalities in high places, and that's why his ministry was successful. And so then you have that spirit, Cosmokarataris, and that particular spirit is spiritual forces of evil, and forces comprise of forces. They bunch together. Demons, whenever they go out to attack, they go out like an army to attack. And this is why God made it possible for us as Christians to be victorious. If there's no other Christians around us, we can be victorious. Jesus and yourself make a majority. Amen? Now, it's good to have a whole bunch of Christians to pray with and to fellowship with and that sort of thing. But it's also just wonderful that you can depend on Jesus. Amen? And so these Cosmokarataris, these spirits afflict people and affect people. And some of the names of these spirits could be spirits of deception, divination, lust, rebellion, fear, and infirmity, just to name a few. But let's just take the spirit of rebellion and talk about that just for a second. Have you ever noticed that people that get into rebellion, they'll always reach out to draw other people with them into that rebellion? Well, what's happening there is that the spirits are leading them to draw those people. And at the same time that they're drawing those people, the spirits and the people are gathering to the drawing spirit. And so therefore, you will see groups of people that all of a sudden they just click together. Sometimes in church breaks, for instance, I've watched this many times, that drawing spirit of people to the person that's in rebellion, and then all of a sudden people start clicking together. I mean, those spirits will draw them to places where they can meet that person. And the next thing you know, there's a whole little group of people clicking together against you, rising up against the church, yakking and blasting the pastor, and the next thing you know, they're gone and they're in total rebellion. But the forces of evil spirits run like a pack of dogs. And your warfare will become a lot less if you learn the principles of pulling down the strongholds and dividing the spirits. Dividing the spirits. Commanding those spirits that they cannot walk in agreement. Commanding those spirits to divide and to go into confusion. There was a spirit that was sent into my house one night by a witch. And I woke up and heard there were several spirits talking. And the Lord opened my spiritual ears, and I heard them talking. And I commanded them to go back to where they came from and go into confusion. And their sentence just suddenly just went off into to send them back into confusion. In the Old Testament, when you see warfare, they would send them back into confusion. Amen? Now, what is the nature and the activities of demons? And what can demons possess? Mark, and you, I'm going to make you look these up so that you'll have them. So you get your pencils. In Mark 1:24 and Matthew 29:31, they have knowledge. When we were in Africa, a witch came forth and they were wrestling with her spirits. And I went up and I was watching them cast her spirits out. And those demons looked up and they said, "She's a thinker, she's a thinker, she's a thinker." And that meant that those spirits knew from the spirit realm some of my activities. That I write books and that I sit around and think a lot, which I do. And my house will tell you that at times. Forgive me, Lord. The will. They have a will, just like you have a will. And depending on whose will is the strongest, will win. If you just give up your rights, they'll come in and possess you and take over. If you resist them, they will flee from you. That's what the Bible says about that. And the will is Matthew 12:44. Demons have emotions. James 2:19. And not only that, but they will use your emotions to rule and reign. They will also use a person's emotions to keep them entrapped by religious spirits. And I've seen this happen many times over my life's ministry, where people only want to go to meetings where somebody can stir them up in their emotions. Not by their spirit, but by their emotions. There are other spirits that have the knowledge, and they will use a person's intellectual mind to bring them off into some intellectual gospel so that they don't hear the truth. And so these are things and reasons why a person needs to be alert about the messages they're receiving. Is this message of God, or is this message of the human spirit that's speaking to me, or is this message coming from a false prophet or a false minister being motivated by devils? And all of these things can happen. And so you have to be spiritually alert. Demons have a self-awareness. In Mark 5:9, just as you have a self-awareness. And if your self-awareness is stronger than your love for God and the things of God, your Christianity will just move according to how you feel. Now, I've always said that if you have a faith, a Holy Ghost that you can't feel, how are you going to know if you ever lose him? Amen? But yet, on the other hand, your faith should not consist of just your self-awareness. It should consist of being aware of his presence. It could consist of being aware of those messages that are coming forth. Is it truth that you're hearing? Because, you know, the bride of Christ, Jesus spoke of that to the woman by the well, when he said, "You think that you know what you worship." He says, "But you don't." He said, "Because the day will come when my people will worship me in the spirit of truth. And you see, the woman by the well lived in Samaria. And that was a place that was filled with New Age religion. It was a mixture of Judaism and heathenism and paganism. And so they knew that the Messiah was coming because they spoke of it. She had heard them speaking about it. And she said, but the Messiah is coming. And he identified himself to her as the Messiah. And then she went back and told the people that she had met the Messiah.